Forward to section 21. There are several places in Whitman's notebooks from the early 1850s where we can see the original stirrings of Song of Myself. One particularly evocative place is in the so-called Talbot Wilson notebook, where Whitman hesitatingly inscribes a whole new kind of speaking. Breaking into the kind of free verse lines in which he would cast Leaves of Grass, he offers a wild attempt to voice the full range of selves in his contradictory nation. "I am the poet of slaves and of the masters of slaves," he writes. "I am the poet of the body, and I am..." Whitman pauses at this point, then starts again. "I am the poet of the body, and I am the poet of the soul. I go with the slaves of the earth equally with the masters, and I will stand between the masters and the slaves, entering into both, so that both shall understand me alike." This amazing originating moment of Leaves of Grass reveals that at its inception, Leaves was not an abolitionist work, at least not in the conventional sense of that term. For in abolitionist works, the slave is pitted against the demonized slave master, and the irresolvable dichotomies of the nation are intensified. Whitman instead probes for a voice that reconciles the dichotomies, a voice inclusive enough to speak for slave and slave master, or that negotiates the distance between the two. This is the beginning of Whitman's attempt to become that impossible representative American voice, the fully representative voice, that speaks not for parties or factions, but for everyone in the nation, a voice fluid enough to inhabit the subjectivities of all individuals in the culture. So Whitman, in these early notes, identifies the poles of human possibility, the spectrum his capacious poetic voice would have to cover, as it appeared to him at mid-19th century, from slave to master of slaves. His dawning insight had to do with a belief that each and every democratic self was vast and contradictory, as variegated as the nation itself. And so the poet had to awaken the nation, to bring Americans out of their lethargy of discrimination and hierarchy, to understand that within themselves they potentially contained, in fact potentially were, everyone else. The end of slavery would come, Whitman believed, when the slave owner and the slave could both be represented by the same voice, could both hear themselves present in the I and the you of the democratic poet, when the slave master could experience the potential slave within himself and the slave could know the slave master within himself, at which moment of illumination slavery would end. By the time Whitman first put this voice into print in 1855, though, the nation was only 5 years away from discovering just how fully the forces of division and violence would overpower the fading hopes of unity and absorption of difference. It is a powerful passage, but what is perhaps most striking about it is that Whitman cancels out the first part of it in his notebook, drawing a diagonal line through it. And the only lines from the passage that finally make their way into Song of Myself are, "I am the poet of the body, and I am the poet of the soul." Whitman's radical evocation of a joining of slave and slave master is erased, though it appears to be the very source of the key statement of Song of Myself. It's as if claiming the power to voice the extreme subject positions of American society, the slave and slave owner, black and white, somehow opened for him the way to speak both the body and the soul in a single unifying voice. Whitman originally learned to absorb dichotomies by confronting and speaking for America's most troubling bifurcation, black and white. America's tortured racial history, then, stands at the very conception of Song of Myself, and here allows him to collapse all the other distinctions, heaven and hell, male and female, that divide and categorize humans. and this mystical sense of a self larger than all attempts to divide it now frees the poet to dilate, to widen himself to the point that he can imagine making love to the entire world, to the earth and sea and the night that holds them. Once released from the old discriminations, nothing is too large for the unspeakable, passionate desires of this democratic poet.